Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
So let's not overcomplicate that. And I think a lot of, and I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but there's a lot of sales gurus.
Come on, let's pick on
people.
I'm
not trying to like open up a can of worms, but.
All right, what does it rhyme with?
No.
I'm not playing. I'm tapping out.
Okay.
but there's a lot of sales experts that will say, you know, here are the templates that you use and here's how you talk. And
here's the script.
Here's the script. And I find that people are turning into robots. And at its core, for me, selling has always been relationship-based. And the more authentic you can be, the more why, the more natural personality that you bring into that, the more successful and easier it's going to be.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying, because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up, but first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Meredith Messenger is on a passionate quest to help more small businesses, startups, and entrepreneurs not only survive, but thrive by increasing revenue generation. She's the host of the podcast, Selling with Soul. Diehards, say hello to Meredith Messenger.
Hello, Meredith.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm a diehard, so I decided to say hello as well.
We are glad you're here.
So I understand the Giants are on a 5-game winning streak, even though they suck.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what I hear. Okay. I stopped watching football a hot minute ago because it was so awful. And then I hear that the Giants suddenly are playing well.
Well, I don't keep up with football, so I get my updates on this podcast.
And there you go. You have arguably the best receiver in the league, arguably the best running back in the league. And arguably the oldest quarterback in the
world. Is it football season already?
It's
almost not football season. About that.
All right, goes my depth of knowledge.
Can we go back, Meredith? Can we sort of start at the beginning? What got you into sales?
Yeah, so I was born. I mean, you know, I've been one of those people my whole life that's looking to connect people in ways that they hadn't thought of, finding those win-wins. I mean, like when I was in high school, for instance, if I wanted to go to a concert and no one else wanted to go to that band, I would like invent a whole thing. Like I would get someone's crush to come. So that person would come and the crush would come and everybody would have a win-win. I'd get to go to the concert and they'd get to get together, you know?
Talk about appealing to the heart and the emotion.
That's right. It's finding those win-wins.
And so, like, were you always in sales?
No, I started my career as a teacher. I was a special education teacher. I taught in inner city schools. I specialize. I have a master's degree in emotionally disturbed children. So I worked with...
We qualify.
You're in. I worked with very sad kids, like kids who had horrible things happen to them.
Oh.
Very traumatic things. And it's probably the thing I'm most proud of in my life that I've done.
You have a lot of patience to be able to do that, because I've hired a lot of former teachers, and as salespeople, I think they make some of the best salespeople. Mm. And to be a teacher and teach anybody, you need a lot of patience.
Oh, yeah.
I commend you for that.
You need the same thing to be a mom or a dad.
Yeah, but it's different when you're dealing with someone else's group of kids all day long.
Yeah. No argument with that. Yeah. So Meredith, did you have success early as a salesperson?
I did. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Let me back up for a second. Yeah. I cut my teeth in healthcare IT startups. And those are the types of organizations that have like five people. So you do everything, right? And everybody's hustling to try to make payroll that week. And some weeks you had to sell stuff just so people could take money home. so that's like learning by fire, like dog years, I like to call it. Every month is like a year of experience because you're working your ass off. So I did that, and that was great. It was a little limiting for me. I was young. I was female. It was a challenging to get promoted as we grew. Those companies were bought and sold, all great experiences. From there, I transitioned to more of a medium-sized company where I was doing some sales and some account management inside sales for them. And I got recruited away to do consulting for a big insurance firm. And that's when I realized everything is a sale. That's where I started connecting everything together. So trying to lead people in decisions that are mutually beneficial, that's where I think I finally realized that's a sale. Like, this is all selling. Life is completely selling.
That's right. Really, parenting is selling.
Yeah. That's right. It's all selling.
I want to ask you a question about a defining moment.
Yeah.
You listened to podcasts for a period of time, and one day it occurred to you, hey, I can do this. Tell me how that happened.
Yeah, I think for me, the defining moment was hearing all of these sales perspectives out there that I didn't agree with, that didn't resonate with me. Ways of selling, sales methodologies, terminologies, attitudes, beliefs, those sort of things. And I'm listening to all of this and I'm going, I got to believe there's other people out there who don't see selling this way or who are being turned off by this, that could be doing amazing things and bringing amazing ideas to life. And that's when I realized I've got a voice. Podcasting gives me a medium to get that voice out there. And I can put that stuff out into the world and I can see who it resonates with. And so for me, it was really just an experiment that I ended up absolutely loving. Like, I love podcasting. I love meeting new people, talking about new ideas and putting things out there that might help other people. So for me, it was kind of, that was the moment where I was like, I get this. I can do this, you know?
That's cool.
And after you did a couple, was it the same as you thought it would be? Were you comfortable with it? Was it something that was like a natural extension of your personality?
Yes. Yeah. I think that goes along with really liking it. I think if you're trying to force yourself into confining to something that your personality doesn't fit, including a type of selling, then you're going to be miserable at it. You could do it probably for a short amount of time, but over the long haul, you're going to quit because it's not you. It's not ingrained in you and you're trying to be something you're not.
And so let's talk about small business, because that's your specialty, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
What defines a small business?
I primarily work with companies that have 2 to 50 employees, definitely less than 100 employees for the most part. Less complex sales. I do work with some technology startups again, now and again. But I really enjoy the phase of business, the building phase of business, that initial sort of kickoff where you're seeing growth and you know that your idea is clutch, but you don't know how to take your business to the next level. It's when you start to need to put processes in place and you need to start to understand how to organize and manage effectively. And I think that's a critical point in small business journey when you're trying to get past that initial plateau. And I think that's really where my skill set fits well, because I have some of that process and structural experience that can help.
So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in Any Minute. We'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
So in small businesses, you often have what I call selling CEOs. CEOs who are the sales team because they can't afford or they think they can't afford to hire one yet. How do you coach them? What are some of the things you tell them, especially if they're sales reluctant?
Yeah. So sales, I call them sales adverse. Sales adverse people are my favorite people to work with. Professional sellers are great. I work with a lot of them through some of my programs, but I love sales adverse people. People who are put in situations where they're forced to have to sell something just to get by and to survive. So kind of showing them how they can authentically put themselves out there from a place of service. So working on that mindset, really helping them get to a place where they accept that they're leaders and they can help people along their selling journey. So I love working on that mindset piece. From mindset, I definitely go to process, daily habits, things like that. How do we infuse solid, pragmatic, but simple process into your daily business so that you can continue to produce business and you're not seeing those wild fluctuations in revenue? And then we talk about technique, because to me, technique is only important if you have the right mindset and you're going to do it. Technique doesn't make any sense if you're not going to do it.
So let's back out to mindset for a minute. If I am sales adverse, which I'm not, but if I were, what are some of the things I could do to change my mindset?
Yeah, I think the most critical thing you have to do is accept that you have a gift to give the world. And I know that sounds really like woo-woo and kind of cheesy.
I love woo-woo. Diehards, if you have not realized that yet, you're in for it next year, because I'm going more woo.
I have a gift to give the world, and I bought it as a Christmas gift.
You can give it to me.
Well, it's the season.
All right, so you have a gift to give the world, and then what?
So you have to accept the fact that you're putting yourself out there from a place of service, because I find that most mindset issues that you have in sales come from the fact that two things. One, there's a fear, which we'll talk about in a second. The other is that you think that you're invading other people, that you're interrupting them, that they're doing you a favor by talking to you.
And we have Wait a minute. They are doing you a favor by talking to you. You are interrupting
but
them.
Maybe you can help them.
But maybe you can. So interrupting for your own benefit is different than interrupting to say, hey, your house is on fire, let me save you, as my hunter just taught me recently. He has this whole house on fire analogy. But like, the idea is that people are looking for things. People are looking for better lives or better businesses. And if you have the opportunity to present that to them, you should. You should. And you should feel good about doing it. It's not a shameful thing.
I say, if you believe in your heart that the customer is better off having purchased from you, you're on the right track. And if you don't, get out of what you're doing.
For sure.
But I want to know, when you consult with all these small companies, are there common issues that they have?
Oh, yeah. So it's totally industry dependent. Jen hit on one, is that everybody's wearing multiple hats. And so as you want to take your business to the next level, you really have to think about departmentalizing a little bit and owning the business so that you can work on it and not in it every day. You need to be able to be your company's best salesperson, but eventually you're going to need to grow out a team of people that can extend your reach, because you're only one person. And either your business, the growth of your business, will suffer because you're maxing out on your time, or eventually you're just going to get burnt out and you're not going to be able to do this anymore.
So okay, so I have an idea. I have an idea for you, Meredith.
Yeah, I like ideas.
You go to your customer, and the first thing you do is you bring them a half a dozen hats. And those hats say all in. On the back of it, it says selling with soul, so you can plug your podcast.
I like it.
But you say, listen, you're all going to wear a bunch of hats, but you need to be on the same team. And so this is your team hat. When you come in the morning, just leave it on your desk. When you come in the morning, everybody puts their all in hat on, and that will tell you what you got to do today in order to win. You got to be all in.
I like it. You're like a marketing genius.
Yeah, he is.
I'm a
good,
he's
good at this. Yeah.
Okay, but I challenge you that when you do it the first time and you see these people, when you go back the next week and the next week and you see everybody wearing their all-in hat, it's going to make you proud.
Yeah, it does. So here's the thing about the way I like to approach this. Like, we're on a sales podcast now, but sales isn't just upfront selling. So there's the technique and the process that we just talked about. But sales can be generated anywhere in the customer life cycle. So how are you, when you look at it from a revenue strategy perspective, you're looking at all those different points where you can increase revenue. And sometimes it's enhancing and improving the sales acquisition side of things, so the new business side. Sometimes it's on retention and building out, increasing the average revenue per client. There's all those steps in between. So you really need to look at all of that as a small business and say, am I maximizing all of my opportunities for revenue in that continuum?
And am I buying things as inexpensively as I can and still maintaining my quality?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. How am I? And then on the other side too is efficiencies, because we're lean teams. So how do we maximize the efficiencies in that process so that we can accomplish all the things that need to be done?
Yep. And think of it. We think of all those Chinese hat factories you're going to keep in business.
Well, it's funny because as you were telling the story, I do remember a presentation where a business owner was giving a keynote and he wore like 15,000 hats. He was saying, this is my job one. This is my job two. This is my job. So it was like a visual representation of what a small business owner has to do in a day. So yeah. It reminded me of that.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that.
And how many of the businesses are family businesses as opposed to somebody just bought a franchise or trying to start something on their own?
Most of them. I really enjoy working with family-owned businesses, but they come with their own unique set of challenges. Succession planning is a huge thing right now. And while I'm not like completely on the management consulting side of the business, it's something I hit up on quite often. You know, what are we, so aging out, what's going to happen to the business as people retire or get out, or in some cases die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty funny.
Funny.
I know. Well, she was laughing.
I don't know.
But you're right.
I laugh because there's no nice way of saying that. But
yeah. It's
really happening.
But there's fights in a family business that don't occur in a normal business.
No. And you're dealing
because you know the other person so intimately and you know them so well. That you nitpick, you know their hot button, you know where to go to piss them off and start them on a trail.
Yeah. There's dynamics that are there that aren't normal business dynamics for certain. And there's some pretty nasty fighting that happens
between people. There's a whole lot of soul.
There is a lot of soul.
A lot of passion.
One of the funnest things for me to work on is perpetuation. So when a senior owner is handing off a business to a more junior owner and kind of phasing out and helping them through that transition and helping them understand what the new ownership is going to need in terms of skill set and experience. And there's a tension that exists between those two things because you've got, you know, your 50 years of experience leaving who thinks it should be done a certain way. And you've got new, fresh ideas coming into the business with an energy and an enthusiasm, but the lack of experience. And so how do you mitigate those two things together and make everybody happy and successful?
Mm-hmm. And the answer is you can't always do it. Some people want their way and they're pretty intransigent on their on their situation.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially in a family.
So let's go back to selling with soul, because I really want to dig into that a little bit more. Talk about the soul part. At the beginning of the episode, you talked about how you didn't agree with a lot of these other sales methodologies out there and
And neither do we, by the way. I just want to corroborate that.
People are saying that these so-called experts are doing. And so talk to us about the basis and where does this come from, selling with soul?
Yeah. So I think it's easy to overcomplicate anything in life, and sales is no exception. But at its core, sales is one human being talking to another human being, like human beings.
Yes.
So let's not overcomplicate that. And I think a lot of, I'm not picking on anyone in particular, but there's a lot of sales gurus.
Come on, let's pick on
a few
people.
I'm not trying to like open up a can of worms. But
all right, what does it rhyme with?
No.
I'm not playing. I'm tapping out.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, but there's a lot of sales experts that will say, you know, here are the templates that you use and here's how you talk. And here's the script. And I find that people are turning into robots. And at its core, for me, selling has always been relationship based. And the more authentic you can be, the more why, the more natural personality that you bring into that, the more successful and easier it's going to be.
I'm going to give you an example. People teach that when you get someone on the phone, you ask them, how are you today? When I hear, how are you today, I hang up because I know it's a sales guy.
Yeah.
But why would some jackass teach that?
Exactly.
And I use that one because it's so generic that I don't have to pick on anybody in particular because I don't want to mention finding the pain, which is the absolute dumbest of them all.
Oh, no. Yeah. Here we go.
But I think I think that you have to look at it from the perspective of what's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable and you can follow the Dale Carnegie process of be yourself, you're going to be much more conversational, much more believable, much more attractive, and much more engaging.
That's right.
It's interesting because that's actually how I found you, Jeffrey. When I started my business.
Attractive? Wait, you found
When I started my business almost six years ago now, I had already been trained in the
spin selling.
The major, I'm not going to mention any names,
no, but come go
the major, yeah, the major sales methodologies out there. And what I had found, and I think Meredith, you'll relate to this, is they were great in the classroom. Like they were great in theory, mm-hmm. but they were not something I, as a successful rep or manager, practiced. They were not something that made me successful. And so I was looking for content until I built my own that I related to, and I came across your stuff and I was like, oh my God, this is it. You know, like it's about building relationships and talking to people, like you're saying. Yeah. And I mean, to me, that's that it's all about the soul. I love that name that you've come up with. And so that's how I found you.
Thank you, my honey.
Yeah.
And then it became obvious.
The rest was history.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
And then we found Nada.
Yes.
And the rest
yes,
was history.
Yes.
And Nada is a very bashful person who rarely comes on and says anything, but he's brilliant. And when he says something, you have to listen.
That's right. He's great. He's also blushing while we're talking about finding each other, which is so funny.
That's cute. You guys are cute.
And, oh, not blushing. Something. He's smirking. I don't know.
Yeah. No, he's like nodding his head and I know I'm smart. Man. Okay, give me another shot.
You can't see him because he's behind the wall over the glass wall, but you know.
But the bottom line for you, Meredith, is you seem to be in comfort zone. You seem to be fluent in your philosophies and in your sales ramblings that it's attractive.
Going back to something we were talking about this morning, she's in her zone of genius.
Aha. She is in her zone of genius.
Yeah, I love it.
And clearly the podcast has basically set you freer. Wherever you were before you started the podcast, it has exacerbated itself through the podcast. Because you get to talk to whoever you want. You get to talk about whatever you want. I don't want to break a secret, but you're in the Sell or Die network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to help expose you to even more people, like-minded people.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that that's part of the whole process that we are all looking for like-minded people.
So diehards, go listen to Meredith's podcast, Selling with Soul.
Yep.
And Meredith, we want to have you back soon.
And I want my all-in hat the minute you get them.
So I'm making a list of all my Jeffrey Gittimer marketing ideas because I've got a whole list of things going on. And 2019 is going to be a big year for my marketing.
Cool.
Amazing.
I'm happy.
Amazing.
It'll be a shit year for the Giants. It'll be a great year for Meredith's Messenger. You know, think about Meredith's name. She couldn't be blessed with a better name than Messenger.
I know. You were born to do this. Yeah. I love it. Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends. Just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard. And we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.